This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message. To visit our website, it is www.cbcg.org. This is Hebrews number 10 in our series going through the book of Hebrews. And I think it's really fitting for our day because we are reaching a time very similar in our day to what they were going through in the time when Paul wrote this epistle, which is really a sermon. And I'm sure it's a sermon that he perfected by preaching many, many times. Now, we need to understand that the section from Hebrews 3:1 to 5:10 all fit together. And it's a continuous thing. Now, let's come to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And let's begin right here. Now, Hebrews 3:7 to 4:13 is a subsection that is sandwiched in between about the faithfulness of Christ as the builder of the house. And then when we come to the last part of chapter 4 and into 5:10, we are talking about the high priest, Melchizedek. And all of the things from beginning of chapter 1, clear up to 5:10, are leading the brethren to point them toward looking to Christ, who is our high priest in heaven above, how he got there through his sacrifice, through participating in human flesh by being faithful to God, by dying on the cross, by being resurrected and building his church, and he is the head apostle over everything. Then we come to chapter 3 where we have, and we've gone through it, where that the theme is, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And this carries over into chapter 4. Now, we'll go back and look at some things in chapter 3 as we come through chapter 4, because there are some very important things for us to understand. Now, first of all, chapter 4 is completely misunderstood by the theologians of the world when they say that Christ is our rest. And Christ is our Sabbath. Therefore, we do not have to keep the Sabbath day. Which goes absolutely contradictory to the meaning of the Greek text here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. One principle to always remember, which is this. Christ died for our sins, which is true. Christ was resurrected, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, through God the Father sending it, we are called, which is true. We have the forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice and belief in the blood of Christ, which is true. Christ did not keep any commandment in our stead, meaning that in Christ keeping the Sabbath does not relieve us from keeping the Sabbath. In Christ being obedient does not mean that we are relieved from obedience. And that is the implication that is given in the lawless religions of this world, which proclaim that Christ is our rest, and if we rest in Christ, we have nothing to do. Now, that is absolutely a false doctrine, and why they use Hebrews 4:9 is only because of the translation in the King James. Now, let's start by going to Hebrews 4:9, and then we'll do like we should in the Bible study according to the 14 rules of Bible study. Read the verses before and the verses after. But here in Hebrews 4:9 in the King James, now let's read it. Because this is a convenient translation, which we will show is entirely and utterly wrong. Now, verse 9, Hebrews 4. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, they all know that this was translated from the Greek word sabbatismos. Now, with the additional pages I passed out, we'll cover that in just a minute. Now, in our study translation, let's read it the way it should have been translated. And we will see the vast difference in it. Because what they are doing, they are making sabbatismos, which means Sabbath keeping, to assume the equivalency of katapazon, which means rest. And it does not assume that meaning. Now, verse 9, Hebrews 4 in the study translation, there remains therefore Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Now, while it is true that we are to rest on the Sabbath from our works as a command, it is not true that we are relieved from Sabbath keeping because we rest in Christ. Now let's go back and let's read the verses before, and then we'll read the verses after. And we'll just read it through so we get the context, then we'll go back and we will analyze it. And then we will go back and we will see that there is a connection between faith and obedience, and unbelief and disobedience. And this is what we are talking about, and it is all centered on Sabbath keeping. So let's read beginning in verse 1, and we will come all the way down through to verse 11. Therefore we should fear lest perhaps a promise being opened to enter into his rest. You might want to circle that as we go along. Any of you might seem to come short. For truly, we had the gospel preached to us, even as they also did. But the preaching of the word did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in those that heard. For we who have believed are entering into the rest, circle that. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Which actually shows that entering into the promised land is conditional, and also entering into the kingdom of God is conditional. That's why it is left hanging. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day. Underline that. There's reason he's talking about seventh day. In this manner. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Circle rested. We come to rest or rested. Circle that. And again concerning this, if they shall enter into my rest, consequently, it remains for some to enter into it, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter in because of disobedience. Again, he marks out a certain day, today, saying in David, after so long a time, exactly as it has been quoted above, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua, as it should read, not Jesus, because that contradicts the statement that if you rest in Jesus, you have rest. So if you read it, if Jesus had given them rest, it would make no sense. That's a contradictory statement. It should read Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, circle that, he would not have spoken long afterward of another day. Therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest has also ceased. Now, circle has ceased. From his works, just as God did from his own works. We should be diligent, therefore, to enter into that rest, circle that, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. Now, let's go back and let's analyze this a bit. We have a 3-page analysis with the tape that is going out. Now let's pick this up. Let's just read the Hebrew study, Hebrews 4:1-9. We're going to look at some things. We're going to see some important things in it. Now let's just read the first part there. For he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day. Now why talk about the seventh day if you're not talking about the Sabbath, huh? In this manner. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, why did God do that? To show that the Sabbath was to be perpetually a day of rest and part of the commandments of God by creation. Number one. Number two, God puts his presence in the Sabbath day. And the holy days, not in any of the other days that other religions keep. I talked to a man who was in Jerusalem for a while, and he said, it's a real circus from Friday through Sunday. He said, because certain parts of Jerusalem the Muslims have, there's no work done on Friday. And certain parts where the Jews are, there's no work done on Saturday. And certain parts where the Catholics and the Orthodox are, there's no work done on Sunday. So he says, essentially, you have 4 days for shopping. Now that shows you why God did not leave it to the choice of men. See? Now then, there is a connection between Sabbath observance and entering into the promised land for the Israelites, and a connection between Sabbath observance and entering into the kingdom of God for those who are Christ's. The gospel that was preached to them was the gospel of the good news of entering into the promised land to receive the blessings, the physical blessings given to the seed of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. The promise of rest that we have is the promise of entering into the kingdom of God. However, in both cases, the Sabbath day was the key point of obedience necessary, as we will see. And again, concerning this, if they shall enter into my rest. Consequently, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter in because of disobedience, what did they do? Well, as we saw, we went through all the points of disobedience, didn't we? They made the golden calf, and the golden calf is a picture of what? Of the sun god, because right between the horns of the golden calf is a big sun disk. So what did they do? Those rebels in the wilderness obeyed Sunday keeping. Now let's look at a couple scriptures for that, just to put it into the record here to make it straight. Let's go to Acts, the 7th chapter, first of all. Acts 7. Let's begin in verse 37. To show the connection between the gospel then, as preached unto the Israelites, and entering into the promised land, and the Sunday worship they had right under the nose of God, and the gospel being preached to us, and the Sabbath day in relationship to obedience to God. Verse 37, for this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brethren like unto me, and him you shall hear. Prophecy of Christ, because there is a connection. Just like we saw in the first part of chapter 3, and between Moses and Christ. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel. That is, talking about Christ who was leading them. Which spoke to him in Mount Sinai, that is, spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, who was the one who became Jesus Christ, and with our fathers, that is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who received the lively oracles to give to us, to whom our fathers would not obey. But thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. Now, question, where does disbelief come from? First of all, from within and from the heart. Where does belief come from? Remember what the eunuch said to Philip. He said, what prevents me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, it is permitted for you to be baptized. He said, I believe. See, so their hearts turned back again to Egypt. And we read all of that, didn't we? How they wanted the flesh pots and the onions and the leeks and the garlics and the fish and all those good things. And yea, the day is going to come in our day when that's going to happen. When you won't have the supermarket and you can't get everything from all around the world to fill your table with the great delights. Verse 40, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. Now this tells you a little bit something about Aaron. He was kind of a wishy-washy, weak person, wasn't he? But nevertheless, because God chose him, he stuck with him. Because he chose him, nevertheless, he was penalized. Let's go on. So he did make gods before us. For as this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and they rejoiced in the work of their hands. Furthermore, we know from the context in Exodus and in 1 Corinthians 10 that it was also in their celebration a sex orgy. Or you might say in modern parlance today, a rock concert. Verse 42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heavens. Now, please understand, this is true. If you don't want to obey God and you want your own way, God will let you have it. But don't be surprised when the judgment of God comes upon you. And as it is written in the books of the prophets, O house of Israel, have you offered unto me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Now look, we need to understand that in the wilderness there were two services always going. That's why God removed himself from the middle of the congregation and put the tent outside the camp. so that Moses had to go out there and the faithful had to go there. And he let the rest of them worship the host of heaven right in the presence of God, because they already had the death sentence put upon them that all of those over 20 would die. That's what it says here. Did it for 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, they took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. So now he's talking about the whole space of time. What happened to them in the 40 years? When they came into the promised land, how they then rebelled against God in the promised land, and the remnant of the Jews were sent off into Babylon. Now that's a condensing of history, isn't it? But it's all based on the same thing, Sunday worship. So beginning in the wilderness, there was true Sabbath worship for those who believed God and were faithful, and there was Sunday worship for the disobedient and the unbelieving, and they all died. As a lesson, that if you don't obey God, you're not going to enter into the rest. Be it the promised land, as the case of the Israelites, or the kingdom of God, in our case. Okay? Now, continuing, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed speaking unto Moses, that he should make things according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers came after, brought in with Joshua into possession of the Gentiles. That should read Joshua there, because Jesus did not lead them, it was Joshua, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the day of David. Now then, that is what it is talking about here. So we see the connection now between belief and obedience and Sabbath keeping and disobedience and rebellion and Sunday keeping. Right in the wilderness. Now this escapes most people. They don't understand that. Now what is the solution? Now let's come back here to our supplementary study page. The Hebrews study in Hebrews 4, 1-9. So let's pick it up with the second sentence here. Consequently, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter in because of disobedience, again he marks out a certain day, today, saying in David. So we came down to the same time, didn't we, here in Acts, the 7th chapter. We came down to David, a man after God's heart. Saying in David, after so long a time, exactly as it's quoted above, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken long afterwards of another day. That is referring to another day in which the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of God would be. Because entering into the promised land was not the finalization of the plan of God. Now, therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Now, in relationship to what I spoke on this morning, we also need to understand that with the Spirit of God and with loving and serving God and believing and obeying God, that He gives us protection from the forces of this world and Satan the devil. That's why in the model prayer it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that should read from the evil one, who is Satan the devil. And I truly believe that in keeping the Sabbath in faith, We are then given added blessing and protection because we believe and obey God. Now just think on that. Now let's continue here. Paul did not write, "There remains Sabbath keeping for the Jews," which is what the Protestants and other religionists say. Not true. He clearly declared there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. The people of God include Gentiles as well as Jews, 1 Peter 2:10 and Ephesians 2:11 through 19. I'll leave it for you to read those. Okay? In both cases, it said, who were not a people, but now are the people of God, who were cut off from the covenants and promises of God and were without God in this world. They are the people of God today. Now let's get into a little technical study of the words here, beginning in the next paragraph. The word translated Sabbath keeping in the English is from the Greek word sabbatismos. In the New Testament, sabbatismos is only in use in Hebrews 4:9. Not any other scripture. It is the only place. Now, there's a peculiar Greek word to describe that, and that is called a hapax legomenon, which means a one-time use. It is a noun meaning Sabbath keeping. It is entirely incorrect to translate sabbatismos as rest, as it has been translated in the King James and other versions. However, it is apparent that those who keep Sunday have theological and political reasons to translate it as rest, so they may avoid the seventh-day Sabbath question and continue to keep Sunday. That is precisely why the King James translators did it that way. And they knew, no question about it. And that was the seed which has led to the failure of the Protestant Reformation. Instead of coming out of the world and repenting and becoming God's people, they became no more than Reformed Catholics. Now, if you don't believe that, go back and reread the paper, Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. And that'll tell you. Okay? Now, continuing next paragraph. When the entire context of the verses leading up to verse 9 are analyzed, it is apparent that the main subject is the seventh day and its relationship to entering into the rest of God, that is, receiving salvation, which ultimately then is the kingdom of God, and entering into the weekly seventh-day Sabbath day as a day of rest. Now, we'll see that. The Greek word, paragraph 4, that is used in Hebrews 4:9, is sabbatismos, which means Sabbath rest, Sabbath observance, Art and Gingrich and English, Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament. This definition of the Greek word, sabbatismos, is confirmed by other historic words. Quote, the word Sabbath rest translate the Greek noun sabbatismos is a unique word in the New Testament. This term appears also in Plutarch, and then it gives the quote there, for Sabbath observance, and in 4 post-canonical Christian writings, which are not dependent upon Hebrews 4:9. Anchor Bible Dictionary, Volume 5, page 856. So there are some honest scholars out there. There are some who are honestly seeking the truth. And lo and behold, when they honestly seek the truth, guess what? They find it. The Greek word, continuing now, next paragraph, sabbatismos, is a noun. The verb form of the word is sabbatizo, which means to keep the Sabbath, Art and Gingrich, The meaning of sabbatizo is confirmed by its use in the Septuagint, a Greek translation of the Old Testament, which dates from the 3rd century B.C., called the Septuagint. Now, all of the quotes in Hebrew, every single scriptural quote in the book of Hebrews comes from the Septuagint Greek translation of the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul quotes exclusively from the Septuagint in his epistle to the Hebrews. When Paul used the Greek word sabbatismos in Hebrews 4:9, he knew that the meaning of this word was well known to the Greek-speaking believers of that day. The verb form, sabbatizo, was used in the Septuagint, which also was familiar to the believers of the New Testament times as the King James Bible is to Christians today. Now let's go to Exodus 16. We'll do so in the King James Version. That's okay because you can't read the Septuagint anyway. Exodus 16. Let's pick it up here in verse 23. Exodus 16 and verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. No. Unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, seed that which you will seed, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. So God showed by miracle. Now that's proof. The old saying, seeing is believing. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath, Shabbat, unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. That's the sermon message for the Sabbath, right? Yes. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather. Now, you would think. I mean, stop and think. If you were there and the cloud of the pillar was there in the daytime and the fire by night and you saw all of these miracles and you were delivered from Egypt and you walked through the Red Sea, that you would believe God enough through Moses that if he said, don't go out on the Sabbath and look for any because it's not there, you'd say, well, yeah, let's not go out. But no, that's the hardness of the heart. They didn't listen. You know, it's like telling a child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Psh! I told you not to touch it, it's hot. Well, that's the penalty. Same thing here. So they went out and found them. Surprise. God said there wouldn't be any. And the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my law? So we have here the unbelief and the disobedience tied together, right? Yes. See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Always remember the Sabbath is a gift of God. Therefore, he has given you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The word rest here is sabbatizo. They sabbathized. That is a different rest than the other rest. To sabbathize means to keep it in the way that God intended. As we will see, the other word, kataposis or katapazin, means to rest, which is also connected with the Sabbath day. So here you have sabbatizo. Okay, now back to the three-page insert that we have here. Sabbatizo. The use of the verb sabbatizo, first full paragraph, page number 2 here, in Leviticus 23:32 in the Septuagint leaves no room to mistake its meaning. Here is the English translation of this verse in the Septuagint. It, that is the Day of Atonement, shall be a holy Sabbath, literally, a Sabbath of Sabbaths to you. You shall humble your souls from the ninth day of the month, from even to even, you shall keep your Sabbaths. The clause, you shall keep your Sabbath, is translated from the Greek words sabbatizeti to sabbato, which literally means, you shall sabbathize the Sabbath. Now, I want you to look at the second two words, the second and third word, ta sabbata. That is plural Sabbaths. Because Sabbath alone is to sabbato. Whereas this is ta sabbata, which is plural. The other is singular, which tells us what? All the holy days are Sabbath. So if there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God, that includes the holy days, no question about it. Now let's continue on. The Greek verb sabbatizeti, which means ye shall keep, which then is the second person plural. Form of the verb sabbatizo. Since the verb sabbatizo means to keep the Sabbath, this verb applies not only to the weekly Sabbath but the annual Sabbaths of God, but also to God's command for the seventh day rest from farming the land, and it also applies to the Jubilee year, we'll add in there. Throughout the Septuagint, the verb sabbatizo is used in relationship to Sabbath keeping and Sabbath rest only. The use of the Greek word sabbatismos in Hebrews 4:9 contradicts the teaching that the fourth commandment has been abolished. As the context of this verse shows, which we'll go through step by step when we finish this, the observance of the seventh day as a day of rest and worship is as binding for the people of God today as it was for Israel of old. In addition to the weekly Sabbath, the annual holy days that God commanded, which are also called Sabbaths, are included in the fourth commandment, which we might add, that's why Leviticus 23 starts out with the weekly Sabbath and followed by all the annual holy days. The early New Testament church kept the holy days of God as determined by the calculated Hebrew calendar. The Apostle Paul kept the holy days and commanded Gentile converts to keep them, 1 Corinthians 5:7 and 8. None of the apostles or the early converts to Christianity observed the pagan holidays that are now called Christmas and Easter. These holidays, which originated in sun worship, were later adopted into Christianity through the influence of the Roman church. They became false substitutes for the annual holy days that are commanded by God, just as Sunday became a false substitute for the weekly Sabbath. Now, we're ready to start looking at the other words, rest. Now, let's take the first two here. There are four other Greek words that have been translated into the English as the verb to rest, and the noun, rest. One, the Greek word katapao, which means cause to stop, bring to an end, to bring to rest, who stop to rest. Now, we will look at those in just a minute. The Greek noun, hikatapesis, means rest. When used with sabbatismos, it means Sabbath rest, the weekly Sabbath or annual Sabbath or the land Sabbath. Okay. Now, let's look at katapaso, which is the verb, to rest. It has the meaning in connection with resting from your enemies, entering into the rest that God had given in the land that he promised. Now let's look at it, Acts 14 and verse 18. We'll just look at the scriptural references we have here. Now, this is the verb, Acts 14 and verse 18. Okay, here we go. Verse 18. And with these sayings, he scarcely restrained. Now there it is, restrained. So katapazin means to restrict, to cause to cease. And we'll see that as a translation. Restrained they, the people, that they should not have sacrificed unto them. Now let's look in our translation here, Hebrews 4 and Hebrews. Let's come back here to chapter 3. Back here to chapter 3. Okay. Let's begin in verse 11. Hebrews 3 and verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, katapasis, and in the Greek it has an N or a new at the end of it because there is action to it. Enter into, see. So katapasin, rest. That is referring, entering into the promised land. See, so then he gives a warning. He said, beware, brethren, lest perhaps there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in apostatizing from the living God. So you see, apostasy begins with unbelief. Rather be encouraging one another while it is called today, that none of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now let's come down here to verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, katapazin, except to those who disobeyed? And we saw that, didn't we? They disobeyed. So you see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Now notice the connection between unbelief, disobedience, and apostatizing. Now also, disobeyed, chapter 3 and verse 18, drop down here to verse 16. The last word is disobedience. So unbelief and disobedience go hand in hand. Question. If you don't believe God, will you obey him? No. That's precisely why Protestants feel free to keep Sunday, because they don't believe God. Every act of disobedience really is you don't believe God. Now, it may be a temporary unbelief. Remember the man whose son was possessed with demons and his disciples couldn't cast him out? And he came to Christ and he said, your disciples couldn't cast him out. If there's anything you can do, please do it. And he said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, so every time you disobey, it's because you don't believe. Or your carnal nature puts you in a state of unbelief. Now, let's come back to the study translation and let's look at katapason and katapaso again. Now, verse 1, Hebrews 4. Therefore, we should fear lest perhaps a promise of entering into his rest any of you might seem to come short of. Now, his rest, we're going to see, is different than having rest from sin, because there's an entirely different word that is used for that, and it is not katapason. Now, we come down here to verse 4. For we have believed, we ourselves are entering into that rest. Okay, now, katapason again. What sort of rest do you enter into? This is present tense. We are entering into. Question. Are you entering into the kingdom of God? Answer. No. Will you enter into the kingdom of God? Yes, but it doesn't say will. It says we are entering into the rest. What katapason or ceasing do you enter into? The Sabbath. Okay. For he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day in this manner, and God rested, katapazo, on the seventh day from all his works. Very interesting. Very profound. Now let's come to Genesis 2. Let's look at some words which in the Septuagint are translated katapaso from the Hebrew, meaning to rest, to cease. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, okay, and verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. That means just as the seventh day was beginning. And I mentioned before that I said on the sixth day, well, the Septuagint says the sixth day, and also the interlinear of George Ricker Berry has it the sixth day. So I promise those of you who I said that I would correct it, there you have the correction. Because, which he had made, and he rested, katapaso, on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had katapaso. He rested. Now let's come to Exodus 20 and verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11. Here again we have the seventh day and katapaso used. So when it's talking about we enter into that rest, we are entering into the Sabbath day. Not some sort of lawless licentiousness, that if we enter into an ethereal, emotional rest, in accepting Jesus, we don't have to keep the commandments of God. Okay? Now let's go back to verse 10. Or actually verse 8. So we'll get the whole thing here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that's within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth. So it goes right back to creation, doesn't it? Yes. The sea and all that in them is, and rested, Katapaso, the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Okay, there it is, Katapaso. Now let's go back to Exodus 16. Now we're going to look at another Greek word here, which is called phulasso, which means to keep. Now turn to the last page, turn to the last page of the printout, and we'll read about phulasso here. Okay? The Greek verb phulasso is another Greek verb that is used in connection with keeping the Sabbath and means to watch, guard, defend, protect, stand guard, keep, as keeping a law, to follow or observe a law. And that as well as from Art and Gingrich. Okay? Let's come here Exodus 18. Beg your pardon. Exodus 18. Oh, 31. There we go. I'll get it straight. Hello. Okay, Exodus 31 and verse 13. There we go. Verse 13, speak you also unto the children of Israel, verily my Sabbaths. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it is plural. Ta, sabbata in the Greek Septuagint. Sabbaths. You shall keep. Phulasso. Meaning to observe as a law, but also to guard and keep, which ties in with remember, right? Yes. For it is a sign between me and your generations that you may know that I am the Lord your God that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Phulasso. Let's come to Deuteronomy 5. We have the same thing. Now remember, in the command that we find of the Sabbath day in Exodus 20, it is that God rested. Now here we have a little different emphasis. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 5. Keep, phulasso, a command, which means to watch, guard, defend, protect, stand guard, keep as in keeping a law. Okay? The Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded you. Now, if you disbelieve God, you will disobey God and you won't keep it. Correct? Yes. Okay? Now, in today's world, will you have trials and troubles because of keeping the Sabbath? Yes, there are going to be times that you will. Does God know that? Yes, he does. Is he there to help you? Yes, he is. But maybe it's going to be kind of like Tyndale said, and I always like this one, and he's absolutely correct in it. He wrote that if God bids you to go across the sea in a ship, that he will send a tempest to test you whether you believe him or no. So likewise with the Sabbath. Today in this world, and of course in every society, we're also going to be confronted with, well, how shall I live if I can't work on Saturday? Well, the answer is by faith in God. He will provide. Now, what if it's long in coming? Don't worry, it'll come. Not every test lasts forever. Sometimes it'll be like that song on Hee Haw when they stand up and say, whoa, an agony, you know. Well, God will see you through it. But just trust in God. Of course, in the letter I've just recently wrote, I said, we have to look at Abraham's example. He came to hope in hope because there was nothing else left to do. Now, what happens when you get down to that point? Should you be discouraged? No,
Because you're right where God wants you. But you're going to look to Him. And trust Him. And believe Him. And obey Him. Now back to Deuteronomy 5. Keep the Sabbath to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox or your ass or any of your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservants may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And what is this society likened today? Sodom and Egypt. If you don't believe it, just go visit San Francisco. Or Los Angeles. Or New York. Or any place where there is a Sodom and Gomorrah community called a gay community in any city. And you will see. Now, remember that you were slaves to the society, too. That's why we keep the Sabbath, because we come out of this world on the Sabbath day, don't we? Yes, we do. And that the Lord your God brought you out from there. Today, remember, God has called you through a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep, phulasso, the Sabbath day. So, phulasso was used in reference to keeping. That is to keep. Katapasso is used in reference to keeping. And the noun katapasin is used to signify rest. Now, let's come back to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day in this manner. And God rested, katapaso, on the seventh day from all his works. And again concerning this, if they shall enter into my rest. Now remember, we covered. Those who rebelled in the wilderness did not keep the Sabbath. Correct? Therefore, they didn't enter into the promised land because their bodies were strewed in the wilderness. Today, we have the same thing. If we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, we must rest on the Sabbath, katapaso, to enter into the katapasin. Now, we will see that. Verse 5. And again concerning if they shall enter into my rest, consequently, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter in because of disobedience. Now you, to what? What are we talking about here? The Sabbath day. Well, what about today? Well, verse 7 says, and again he marks out a certain day, today, saying in David. That's what the whole 95th Psalm is all about. A call to the people of Israel to keep the Sabbath day. It was a Sabbath psalm to be read in the synagogue and read at the temple for all the children of Israel. Today, saying in David, after so long a time, that is from Joshua, exactly as it is quoted above, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, let's ask a question here. When you talk to a staunch Sunday keeper, even though they say they believe in God and Jesus Christ, do you come upon a hardness of heart? Yea, verily, yea. That's why they're called hard shell Baptists. Do they disobey God because they don't believe God? Yes, they keep Sunday, don't they? Are they going to enter into the kingdom of God? No, because they're disobeying, because it says here, those who previously heard it did not enter in because of disobedience. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, in other words, if they entered into the promised land under Joshua and they entered into the finality of the kingdom of God, and that was the total sum of salvation, he would not have spoken long afterwards of another day. Because then, once they conquered the land, God would conquer the world and bring in the kingdom of God to the whole world. But it didn't happen. That's why he spoke of another day. That's why it says today. Now, because it hasn't been fulfilled, verse 9, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Why? To rest from your work on the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath as God has commanded, and to give you the blessing and looking forward to entering into the kingdom of God. Now stop and think for just a minute. And I know in talking to people who have given up on the Sabbath, and some people do give up on the Sabbath, and God still works with them, and they come to repent and come back, and they said, almost universally, once they stopped keeping the Sabbath, they forgot about the kingdom of God. Now, why? Because on the Sabbath day, that's why we are here, right? Sabbath day, you're taught about God, about Christ, about the kingdom of God. You're looking forward to the coming kingdom of God in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, correct? And it is true in type that the Sabbath day does picture the millennial reign of Christ and the saints on the earth. That is true. And that is the rest of God. It says in Isaiah 11, let's turn there. Turn to Isaiah 11. And let's see what it talks about concerning the kingdom of God and the reign of Christ on earth in relationship to rest, which is also katapazim in the Septuagint. Verse 10. In that day, which is what day? The return of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. So this ties right in with Hebrews 4, doesn't it? Today, which is looking forward to that day. And there is katapazon or katapaso involved with us as well as with God, you see. Continuing on, there shall be a root of Jesse who is Christ, which shall stand for an ensign for the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. That is when the knowledge, if we have here in verse 9, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth, and his rest katapazon shall be glorious. So that's what we are looking to. Okay? Now let's come back to Hebrews 4 and verse 10. Hebrews 4 and verse 10. For the one who has entered into his rest, katapazon, he also has ceased, katapazon, from his work. So here we have katapazon the noun and katapazo the verb, has ceased from his works. Now notice, just as God did from his own works, when did God cease from his works? On the seventh day, didn't he? After he made everything. So, The one who's going to enter into the kingdom of God has to cease from his own works on the Sabbath day, and just as God did from his own works. Now, there are those who say this. He has entered into his rest, that is the rest of Christ, and God has done everything for you, has ceased from his work, so therefore there's nothing for you to do. Which is a total twisting of the scripture. That is not what it means. Because the comparison is made here, just as God did from his. Now, what did God do the first 6 days? Worked. Now, notice verse 11, very key thing. We should be diligent, therefore, to enter into that rest, katapasin, which is the rest of the Sabbath, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. Now, rather than doing away with the Sabbath, this reinforces it very powerfully. Now, let's understand something. I wrote this down. Because of unbelief and disobedience, they were not able to enter into the promised land. After they entered into the promised land, when they sinned because they didn't believe God, they were punished by war, foreign domination, and exile. Final destruction of the temple, and that goes through the whole book of Hebrews, right? Now, we have the same thing for us today. Now, let's read verse 12 and 13 in relationship to it. And remember this, the human heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? There is a way that seems right to a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. But it seems right while you're on the way. Okay? But we can't fool God. And we can't fool the Word of God. Now, we can trick ourselves, and Satan can trick ourselves, but when we know the truth, we really know better, and we're sort of fighting our conscience and putting it down and avoiding God and trying to get away from God so that we won't have to squirm and squeal. Well, just wait. God's not done yet. Verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, this is why people don't like the Bible. Now, that's pretty sharp. Always reminds me of this. I forget which movie I saw it in, but this guy had a sword that was so sharp, he took it and he whacked the guy's head off, and the knife went through that person's spine and neck, and didn't even move the head. There was just a little line right there. And he didn't realize it for a few seconds until his head fell off, that sword was sharp. So when I read this, I think of that. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now, marrow is very important because marrow gives you physical life, because that's where your blood cells are made. And when your blood cells are no longer produced, you die. So it goes right down to the substance of life, and is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book is able to do that. Verse 13. Now, he's saying in relationship to kidding yourselves and not keeping the Sabbath, not entering into the rest of the Sabbath, the seventh day, think on this, verse 13. And there is not a created thing that is not manifest in his sight because he made it. But all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we must give account. And the word must means it's necessary. And remember, the judgment is on the house of God today. Now, let's go back in our study, three-page study paper, and let's come to the third page again. And let's cover something here that's important. And it is called, let's come to number four, the Greek noun, anapasis, means rest, a stopping, a ceasing, a resting place. Let's come back to number three on page two. The Greek verb anapaso means to cause to rest, to give someone rest, refresh. Now, isn't it interesting that the Greek verb anapaso, or the Greek noun, is never used in relationship to the Sabbath or ceasing from work on the Sabbath? Now, let's look and see where it's used. Let's come to Matthew 11 and verse 28. And this is where they like to spiritualize away keeping the Sabbath. They come to this and say that you rest in Christ. And here it says that you rest in Christ. Christ even said it. However, it is not katapason or katapaso. It's anapason and anapaso. Okay? Pick it up here in verse 28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus is our rest. No, he gives rest, which is anapasin, the noun. What is that rest from? From sin. Now, why do you have rest from sin? Because if you believe Jesus and obey him, you are not going to be living in sin. He brings to you, causes you to rest, he refreshes you, gives you spiritual refreshing, right? Not used in relationship to the Sabbath at all. Now, I'll let you look up all the rest of the places that I have listed there. Let's just finish it here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, will you find rest? Yes. Will you find rest from sin? Yes, you will. Will you be refreshed with his Spirit? Yes. That ties right in with the renewing of the mind that we covered earlier, right? Yes, indeed. Okay. And you shall find rest unto your soul. You're not going to be driven to and fro with sin pulling you here and there. But anapaso, or anapasis, is a rest from sin. Now then, if you rest in Christ and do not keep the Sabbath, do you have rest from sin? No, because you're still breaking the fourth commandment, the seventh day Sabbath, and transgression of the law is sin, correct? See? So you can't take that and apply it to the Sabbath day and say, Christ has given me rest. I rest in Christ, and there's nothing for me to do. That is a twisting of the scripture and a lie. Now notice, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Why is it? Because he'll fight your battles for you. Okay? So there we have it. That is the meaning of Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Okay? So for Israel, it was a rest for Israel with a connection of the Sabbath and entering into the promised land. For the church of God, the people of God, it is entering into the kingdom of God in connection with the Sabbath. And it does not mean a rest from sin. So we'll pick it up there next time. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. The Australian office, Post Office Box 81, Sale, Victoria, 3850. New Zealand office, 11 Consols Street, Waihi, Waihi, Auckland. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 39, Tavistock, Devon, Postal Code, Devon PL, Postal Code 199RL. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, Wilro Park, Postal Code 1731, Republic of South Africa.